I said we're learning the Sefer Chovetz Talmidim from the Heilige Piasetzner Rebbe. Piasetzner Rebbe lived in Warsaw Ghetto. And he was born Yutes Iyar. Yutes Iyar, which is coming up. Reish, in Tuf Reish Mem Tes. And he wrote the Sefer Chovetz Talmidim while he was alive. He's more famous for the Sefer that he wrote that was only printed after he passed away, the Sefer Eish Kodesh. That's what people refer to him as, the Eish Kodesh, just because of the fantastic way that the Eish Kodesh was discovered. But this Sefer that we're reading is much more popular Sefer, much more read Sefer. It's considered to be like a textbook in Hasidic yeshivas. And I've heard from many people about the importance of learning this Chovetz Talmidim, the Sefer, and what can be gained from learning it. After we finished tonight, Rabbi Lerner will be giving a shiur here in the Beis Medrash at 9:45. Rabbi Lerner is the Rosh Kollel, second Seder. He's a person who wrote many Svarim and is a Bucky in many things, but Halacha is particularly his forte. That's why he has the Halacha Chabur. Do we know what he's speaking about?
Skulas.
Didn't he speak about it once before? Well, he's doing it again. Skulas. Everyone's like, you know, that's trending nowadays to do skulas, and he will speak about something about them. Stay tuned. 9:45 tonight here. Okay. We're in the seventh perek, the Sefer Chovetz Talmidim, and we were speaking about Machlos Ashiflos and also Machlos Hayeshus. And right now he really goes off a little bit on a different direction. The page we're on in the new printing is page Samach Aleph. V'zeu Iker Asher Tzichim Lahazhircha B'Yoyser. This is something we have to really warn you about. Because when we're speaking about people having Shiflos and Yeshus, people like come up, they start conjuring up all their own like interesting ideas. And people make up their own ideas. And this is something, it's very important that we should warn you about. B'yoyser. Allah. Yodanu gam yodanu sheneged hamasitim asher beferush. We know, yes, we know, that in front of, in the face of people that are coming explicitly, and they're coming to push you away, chas v'shalom, miderech Hashem. They're coming to push you away from the derech Hashem, el sha'ol tachtis, and they want you to like just fall off a cliff and go down to like the lowest possible level. Makom choyshech sitra achara, they want you to go to the darkest places, the places of sitra achara, the places of the evil forces. Rachmana litzlan. Gamei atzmecha teida li'izar. You also know not to go to those places. You know yourself how to be careful about that. Divrayim yu l'cha ke'esh tzareves. Their words is like, it's like a scalding fire. It's like a burning fire. U'kimetachavei keshes mehem u'mikol siyatam tirchak. And like the distance of an arrow, an arrow shot, you're going to stay far away from anyone and anyone like them that's going to tell you, like, go do terrible averus. V'rach min ha'tzvuyim tzrichim lahazhircha b'yoyser. We have to warn you about the tzv'uyim. Tzv'uyim means the ones that have painted themselves. They've painted themselves. B'ponim t'mimim yavoi elecha. They come with such seemingly innocent faces. Le'mar gam anu es elokei avoseinu yireim. U'kamoicha kamanu ovdim. We also fear Hashem. We also want to serve Hashem. Rakgam zehu ratzan Hashem. That's also ratzan Hashem. So they're not coming and say, go, let's do averus. They say, this is what Hashem wants. This is even making it into a mitzvah. There's two different types of enemies Klal Yisrael has. One enemy is Esav. The other enemy is Lavan. The Rashi says, "Biyadua she'Esav soine es Yaakov." It's known. It's very obvious. He is not hiding anything. He hates us with a passion, and he tells us. That's Esav. We have another enemy. It's called Lavan. Esav is red, right? Esav is Edom. He's red. He's boiling with anger, blood, right? It's clear he's out for blood. Lavan is white. He's pure. Lavan's like, you know, looks on the surface. You read the text. You could say Lavan's just a nice guy. He's just like a simple nice guy. He's just like, you know, trying to be a good father-in-law. Loves his kids, you know. What does he want already? Doesn't seem like Lavan's so bad. And yet in the Haggadah, it tells us, Bikesh Lavan le'ekar es ha'koil. Lavan wanted to wipe everything out. Lavan wanted to eradicate and destroy us. He wanted to do it with a smile. Because that's the way to get in. Because he knows that if he shows his true colors, so then Yaakov's going to run away from him. But he tries to like show himself as if he's a friend. And that's a very dangerous Yetzirah. The Yetzirah that tells you, come, let's just relax a little bit. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from you. It's just, we'll zone out a little. We'll be able to learn better first Seder. If I just get a little entertainment at night. And you start like, a person starts like telling himself that he's really doing mitzvahs. He's doing mitzvahs, really. And that's a very dangerous Yetzirah. He says, this is also Avodas Hashem. Well, you think I don't want to be from? I also want to be from. And he starts like explaining himself about why this is really the right thing to do. Gamzeu Ratzon Hashem. Ata. Now, Be'ez Hazois, Tzrichim Lefasher Ma'at. You have to be moderate. Person has to be moderate. You can't be extreme. Torah Kvar Lomarita. You already learned Torah. Loman Ata Malocha Mischar. So he goes into one particular temptation. People would say, it's okay, now it's time to go to work. It's time to learn how to support a family, get a job, be a little bit more worldly, learn a job or business. And they even have the audacity to use the words of Chazal. Say, Gam b'mishnah imeres. Look, it's a Mishnah. The Mishnah also says, learn, but also you have to have derech eretz. You have to also know how to work and things like that. And they're all of a sudden, they have become the experts in understanding, applying Divrei Chazal. And they, all of a sudden, they say that, look, well, we're just trying to be Mekayim the Mishnah. Now, I understand that there's a Mishnah that says, Toiv Torah and derech eretz. And it's something that we have to analyze. But I just have one question. Rabban Leib Steinman never went to college. He never learned business. So, what does he do with that Mishnah? Chaim Kanievsky also never did that. What does he do with that Mishnah? What does Moshe Feinstein do with that Mishnah? How do they deal with the Mishnah? So, there's one of two answers to that. Either I know better than them. I know better. Okay, they have some sort of hidden agenda. I don't know if you ever heard that. The rabbis are running a racket. You see, they're making lots of money off of all the people that are in Kollel. How, I'm not really sure, because I haven't figured out that formula. But, you know, it's all the rabbis thing, and they don't really care about Hashem. They're all in for the money. I mean, you saw the palace that Rabban Leib Steinman lived in? I mean, it was unbelievable. He lived in like this, you know, all, like everything, the gold and silver, the wine that he was drinking. I mean, the man was like, it was like, it's a whole corrupt, like, he's running a racket. Which is, it's so ridiculous. It's such a ridiculous thing, and it's such a bizoyan to G'dayle Yisrael and to Talmid HaChacham to say such a thing. But I can interpret it better than them. They don't know what they're talking about. Or they're corrupt. They're corrupt. That's a very sad thing for someone to say. And it's not just a sad thing. It's totally oblivious to the reality of the way that the Chachamim live. fact that they shy away from any type of fame, fact that Aaron Leib wouldn't even let someone buy him a new refrigerator because his refrigerator was broken. He ate nothing. He was a man that survived on mamish, nothing from nothing. Rabbi Kalisman spoke about Rabbi Aaron Leib, about the way that, you know, about the food that he ate, the same vegetable every single day. And like mamish, you're talking about people that are so removed from this world, they get nothing from this world. So it doesn't make, it's so preposterous to even think that. Or person, when he says, you know, that this is going to be Peshat Mishnah, thinks that Rabbi Aaron Leib probably has a reason why that's only for him and not for me. It's Rabbi Aaron Leib. Okay, that sounds like a great solution. So let's ask him. Why don't we ask him? I think he probably knows Peshat in the Mishnah. Let's not make up our own Peshat and decide, oh, it's not for me, it's for him. That's not for him, it's for me. And I just decided that. Why? Because that's because it makes me maybe feel better. You know. I was talking to a man once who he's an activist, he's very involved in all these different things. And he met someone who had come up with a theory that Hashem, that God is a tree. God is a tree. And the tree gives life to the world. And you have to worship the tree. It's really not something new. There's something in the Torah called an Asherah, where the Asherah is where the Avodah Zarah is. There's such a thing. But this person asked him, he says, I don't get it. Why do you have to make God into a tree? Why can't God just be God? Like, why does he have to be a tree? Like, why can't we just stick with the old formula, you know, that he's up there in Shemayim somewhere? Why do you have to make him into a tree? So he said to him, he said, if God's not a tree, then who am I? I made God into a tree. I made God into a tree. I started a religion. It's the coolest thing. It's like, wow, yeah, God's a tree. Look at that. Look at me. I can make. And then all of a sudden, he's feeling good about himself. So people sometimes have a hard time with tradition because they don't see themselves as being like anything exceptional. And they have to step out of the lines in order to feel good about themselves. Like, here I am. There I am. And even though that might make them feel good, but they're totally off base. And that's very dangerous. So he's saying over here, as people come up and they start quoting Chazal, that this is what the Torah really wants, this is what Hashem really wants. What about the tradition? What about the Masorah? What about asking our Doylem and our Rabbanim? What about speaking to them? Ve'oid af b'inyone avoida yifatucha. Even when it comes to avoidas Hashem, they're going to try to seduce you lefasher to also to like calm down, to cool down. Ve'yomru ha'itim nishtanu. Times have changed. U'beis hazois ein tzrichen li'izor ledaktik b'chol mitzvah u'minhag minhag Yisrael. Nowadays it's different. Used to be maybe once upon a time that was an important minhag. It's not important minhag anymore. That's like, now it's new. And you don't have to be a daktik b'chol mitzvah minhag Yisrael. U'beharchoka min ha'aveirois kol kach komol b'fnim u'chedoyma. Back in the day, maybe that was true. It's not true anymore. It's not relevant. I one time was present when there was a professor who was speaking about how once upon a time, kollel was an important thing. But it's not relevant anymore. Not nowadays. Nowadays, we don't need kollel anymore. Because kollel was only a temporary thing, and now kollel is, no one should be learning kollel anymore. Because it's not, the times are new times. And it happens to be, Moshe Feinstein writes about a person that would say this. He anticipated it, Moshe Feinstein. Anyone that says that you don't need kollel anymore, he says you have to check whether or not there's a psul in his lineage. There's something wrong. Something went wrong over there. This person is not, he's not pure. You can't just make this stuff up. We have tradition for hundreds of years, for thousands of years. You can't make this stuff up. We have a tradition, Baruch Hashem, in Klal Yisrael, that a person davens wearing a hat. It's part of our tradition. It's been going on for hundreds of years. Hundreds of years. Now people will say, now it's different. It's different now. Who said? Who made that up? You can make that up if you want, but you're making that up. Reb Chaim Kanievsky happens to be, You're not yoitza tefila if you're not wearing a hat. Now, I want to explain. You hear what I just said? Rav Chaim Kanevsky said, you're not yoitza tefila if you're not wearing a hat. Well, what about my father, my uncle, my grandfather? I'm not answering that question. I'm just telling you what he said. It's ma'akev in tefila. So, this is something we've been doing for generations and generations. Someone gets up and says, yeah, but now it's different. Why? Because John F. Kennedy decided he's not wearing a hat. So who wants to listen to John F. Kennedy? The man was from the prustest people alive. So because he decides not wearing a hat, therefore we don't wear a hat? And if we do decide that, who decides it? A bachar in Aderes HaTorah is the one who decides, I'm going to be kaveh what the halach. What's Minig Yisrael? It's not Minig Yisrael anymore. I decided. It's not Minig Yisrael. No, it's my decision. And these are things that maybe we say that they are subtle little things. But that's where he creeps in. He creeps in on, you don't have to keep the minhag anymore. That's not so important. Or don't have to be so extreme in your halacha. We'll decide what's considered appropriate for today, for this world. Va'ata, so what do you do? When someone starts giving you this type of ideology, this type of hashkafa. Va'ata lois soriv v'lois iskoitet imahim. Do not argue, do not fight with them. Rak b'libecha hashiv amarecha lehem. In your heart, answer them. Don't even bother talking. It's not worth it to talk to them because you're not going to get anywhere. Because it's not about whether or not they think it's appropriate to keep this minig or not to keep this minig. There's an agenda. And until they're willing to recognize their agenda, so they're just going to keep arguing because that's their agenda. It's not that they came to this conclusion and then they decided to act that way. They decided to act that way, so they had to make some sort of explanation for it because I don't want to do that. So this will become, or this is my explanation. So don't bother arguing. And you see it so, you could see it so clearly today in the political world that people can say something. It's so like beyond belief that you could say that the Israel is the aggressor. You have a country shoot 700 rockets into Israel. 700. And we drop one little bomb and then go, Israel is the aggressor. Like, how in the world could you say, how could you look at this and say that Israel, how does it make, it doesn't, it's impossible. It's impossible. But you could look at anything. Anything. You could look at broad daylight and say that it's night. I had this argument with someone. I said, I can prove to you, we were walking in the middle of the day, that now it's dark. It's black right now. It's black, I said. I said, black. It's black. I'll tell you, I'll prove it to you. You want to hear? It's black right now. It's the middle of the day. It's black. Because black means perfect pigmentation. That's what black means. You think black means black? It doesn't mean black. Black means perfect pigmentation. I'll prove it to you. Because you ever saw an African-American? He's not black. He's brown. So why call him black? It just means that it's perfect pigmentation. It's exactly the way he's supposed to be. He's black. Black is the perfect color. That's all it means. Ask any black. He'll tell you that. They're perfect. So black just means perfect pigmentation. If that's what it means. So right now, it's perfect pigmentation. It's black. Prove me wrong. And you can't. So a person, if I want it to be black, I'll make it black. I could do that, and I could argue, and I could tell you I believe it for everything, and a person can say the Holocaust never happened, and we can have documentation, and you could say the documentation is falsified, you could have videos are made up, and I could prove it. It could be staring you in the face, and you're just not interested. You're just not interested. They'll say in the same breath, Holocaust never happened, and Hitler was a great man. So what was great about him? The Holocaust never happened. And we're going to finish off with Hitler. There doesn't make any sense. It doesn't have to make sense. Because people have an agenda, so they'll say anything that's going to help their agenda. So there's no point in arguing. The Vilna Goyin is medayik this in the Haggadah. It says, the Rasha says, Ma avoida hazois lachem. So you answer, Babur ze asa Hashem li. You say, this is because of this avoida asa Hashem li. Li veloy loy. Me and not him. Doesn't say veloy lacha. Why doesn't say loy lacha? You're talking to someone, he asks you a question, give you an answer. So li veloy lacha. Me and not you. Li v'loy loy. Me and not him. Says the Gaon, you're not even talking to the Rasha. Don't even bother. Because right now, he's just looking to explain why he's not, like, as frum as he feels he should be. So he's explaining it. Yeah, this is not for me, this whole thing, blah, 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 blah. I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense. Okay, there's no point. There's no point in trying to explain that. One time, it happened once, that I was in town, and I met a bachur in yeshiva. One time it happened. And we were walking home. He says, you know why I go to town? No one ever explained to me why I should go. So, he's full of baloney. You could explain from today till tomorrow. He's not interested in knowing why. Is it really so hard to explain? Right? But I explain it. It's like, but this, but that, but this. Okay, so you're not interested. So what is... Okay, you're using excuses to explain why you're doing something, so there's no point in trying to talk. You can't engage someone in a conversation if he's not really interested in your answers. So don't even bother. Don't even bother talking to him. But you have to know the answers in your heart. So answer him in your heart. Rak b'livcha hashev amorcha lahem. In your heart, answer the following thing. Im kidivrechem. If you happen to be right. Kein hu, that so it is. Sha'itim nishtanu, that something has changed from now till then. If something changed, halay rak lero nishtanu, if it's changed, it's only worse. It's only gotten worse, not better. Milifnim, back in the day, gam ha-soicher, gam ha-baal melocha aved as Hashem. Back in the day, a person can go to work. He can have a respectable job and remain an eved Hashem. Ve'ata, but now, rubam kekulam ibnei anoyer, kasher ach yotzo yetzu minei yeshiva lischor. Once they step foot out to go to yeshiva to go to work, la'avoid malacha, el shol tachtis yerdu. They have a terrible drop. If anything, it's worse than it used to be. It's much worse, much more challenging, much more difficult. If anything, we have to be more careful and be more protected. And truth be told, the Goyin says this, Parshas Kedoshim, the Goyin on the Pasuk of Mishmeres LeMishmarti, says the Goyin, as history goes on, as time moves on, the challenges get worse and they get harder. And you have to put up bigger fences, more protection. A person has to protect himself more. So people say, oh, I don't know, my grandparents, they used to watch television. All right, well, that's maybe for your grandparents. I Love Lucy wasn't so bad. But times are not the same. It's not the same thing. And back in the day, they didn't have big machitzas. Back in the day, they didn't have this. They don't have that. And this is new. And yeah, because we're not the same. It's not the way it used to be. Back in the day, I had a person who went to work. He spent hours learning a day. Spent time in shul. There was a sense of community. It was a part of something. They didn't have any type of social media. They didn't have any type of internet. They didn't have any type of billboards. No billboards. Back in the day, said this over before, the Chafetz Chaim, they said in Radin. So what did you see when you walked out of the shtetl? You saw a communist and you saw muddy roads. That's it. We didn't have to deal with these huge billboards that are all over the place with tremendous preachers and buses riding by and people in the street. Back in the day, women dressed modestly. Women dressed modestly, even not that long ago in New York. A person would not walk off, Achman Otzlan, they had mixed beaches, but you wouldn't go off the beach if you weren't dressed. People got dressed. Shlomo Freifeld, I heard him speak about it. He said people got dressed. They wouldn't walk in the street with their buttons open and in shorts. There was a law in New York. You get fined for wearing shorts in the street. It was illegal to wear shorts. In the 20s, Rabbi Ber went to visit New York. He asked the mayor, maybe we can make separate beaches. I mean, that was a discussion. It was like you know, the mayor didn't listen. But the point is that people understood there was a concept of modesty when you walked in the streets. If anything, it's so much more difficult. We have so many more challenges. So if a person, I can say that back in the day, maybe, you know, you had to be careful. Now you have to lighten up, if anything, the other way around. Now we have to be more careful. Protect ourselves better. V'im tirtzu lirtzoyach gam oisi. You're trying to kill me? Lisrof es nishmasi? To burn my neshama? Hatahira be'eshal gehenim azev lahashlich es gufin? You want to throw my guf? Efroich yoinazaka. I'm a cute little bird. This little dove. Be'yoyrish al tzoya reisachas. You're going to throw me into a vat of boiling excrement? I'm not listening to you. I'm going to hold on to the Sefer Torah. Hashem is in the Sefer Torah. With both of my hands. I will hug Hashem. As long as I have my neshama in my heart, I am not leaving the Torah. And according to the words that says, listen, you have to be, anticipate, you have to be prepared. You're going to have to make money eventually. How are you going to support your family? What are these people going to say? What are they going to answer? Imtach lirois. If they have avoided to see, avoided to see with their eyes and with their hearts. Even now, when times are hard, when he was writing this, it was a hard time. Like when it was good. It was easy to make panasa. Kulam shavim. Many people that have professions, many people that have gone to school and have a skill are hungry. And there's many people that they spent their entire youth learning Torah and they're very wealthy. They're all equal. You don't get rich from your job, you don't get poor from your job. It's a fact. And people are going to say, now it's different. It's a Gemara. You want to say, okay, Gemara doesn't apply anymore. Who got you, gave you the license to say that? We see with our own eyes. I know many people that never stepped foot in college, learned until after they were married in Kollel, and they're fabulously wealthy. Fabulously wealthy beyond anyone's. And there's people that are somewhat wealthy, and the people that are comfortable, everything. A person doesn't need to leave yeshiva in order to be able to support a family. He doesn't need to sacrifice on his neshama in order to be able to get a job. Hashem wants to make you rich, make you poor. And whoever Hashem wants to make rich, he'll make rich. That's enough for me. I know that when I need to go support my family, I'm going to go out there because Baruch is going to take care of me. I know it's going to happen. Now I'm going to fill up my body, nishmasi, b'toyer of the kedusha. Right now, I need to give myself a good foundation. Right now, I need to learn, fill myself with toyer, with kedusha. Ukishe egdal, when I get older, ve'etstorech gam b'parnosasi, and then I need to make parnosa, eshtandel, I'll do it. V'Hashem, asher bedrochav eilech, hu ya'azreini, yifarneseini, v'hu yoshieini. Hashem, I'm going in His ways. He's going to help me. He's going to support me. He's going to take care of me. So a person has to realize that there are foreign hashgafas that try to creep in. And there are people that try to make suggestions. And really what the danger is it's pulling you away from your life force. It's pulling you away from whatever you can build as your future and your foundation. A person has to try to be honest with himself to know, is he falling prey to that trap? I can tell you, I had a Talmud once, this was many, many years ago, who he was getting pressure from his parents to already to go to college, to support a family. And he had already given up. You don't want to argue with them, and I respect that. It's not arguing with parents is not a simple thing at all. But he said, if you can impress upon my parents to let me stay in yeshiva, I'm fine. And Baruch Hashem, his parents were here for Purim. And Purim, this was before we had the yeshiva, so my house was a little bit more, I was able to get out for a few minutes, got out, and I've mamish poured my heart out to them. And they said, okay, we could have another year in yeshiva. Another year. They stayed another year in yeshiva, Baruch Hashem. And right after yeshiva, his mother at the time worked for the Trump Towers that was right there on the West Side Highway, these huge high-rise buildings. She got him a low-level job just to be able to support his family, because he's a man who had a family. And she was already like, one of the people in charge and the managers and this and that, and he had this like very dinky job. And she insisted he has to go to college, and he has to, because in order to be able to support a family, you got to go to college. Anyway, he took this job, and Trump went bankrupt, which, by the way, he did a lot of times, but it's a different story for a different time. And the buildings then were taken over, and they were liquidating the buildings. Everything was going to be sold. Kept the name Trump Towers, but they fired everybody, including this Talmud's mother, fired. They kept on two workers. He was one of them. So now you have this massive complex with hundreds of apartments, and he's like busy as a bee. I mean, the guy is like running the whole thing because they fired everyone because they didn't have money to pay people, and he's like running this huge operation. And he did a great job, and he did such a great job that the person who was on, you know, who was like there at the end said, you know, I'm going to work somewhere else. I'd like you to come with me. And all of a sudden, he's getting paid six digits. I mean, he's been working for a year, and all he's got this, he's making this big, you know, this big salary. And he never looked back since. And originally, the condition was that he should go to college, and all that. Didn't do college, didn't do anything. Because Baruch Hu took care of him. It was that simple. His mother lost her job. I feel bad for her. With her college degree. And Kodesh Baruch Hu took care of him. Now, there are situations when a person does have to leave yeshiva. And that's what he speaks about next. Im chas v'shalom, hayu l'cha menios chazokos kol kach, shelo yecholta lamid behem. You couldn't stand up to it. V'lo yecholta li'yishoyer ben Torah bilvat. If whatever reason, it was the situation was so extreme, that you had to leave yeshiva. Now what? Now he's not going to just write you off. He won't do that. He's going to say, how does a person deal with that situation? But realize that that is the very, very last resort. And when we were away for Shabbos together with my Rebbe, Reb David, he spoke about how Bochrim have to stay in yeshiva. Yeshiva is an anchor for you. And people don't necessarily realize the dangers that are out there. But it's a pretty wild world out there. If a person has no choice, and for some reason he's got to go, there is what to do. Bez Hashem, we'll continue with that next week.